Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome along to another edition of Ireland Calling Broadcasting here from my home office on a beautiful sunny Wednesday afternoon here in Auckland. I hope wherever you're listening, around New Zealand or around the world, you'll enjoy the next hour of music and news from Ireland. We'll give you the latest news from the address by the Taoiseach this evening about how they're dealing with the way forward over COVID. We'll bring you all the sports news and lots of other news as well. So wherever you're listening, stay with us for the next hour. And up first tonight, we're going to, what do you call it, play this song. It's this was something that I think it was a group of policemen in Switzerland danced to this Jerusalem. It's a bit of music, and then the Irish police did it, and then there's various people doing it. But it's going all around the world in a bit of a craze. But you have to go on Google, what do you call it, Redemptorine nuns. They're a group of nuns in a convent in North Dublin, an enclosed order, and they range in age from 28 to 92. But they're, dance form of doing this Jerusalem is well worth seeing to brighten up your day. So we'll play the music here. It's not Irish music, but anyway, those of you that have watched this Jerusalem, you've got to go and look it up and see what you think. Watch these nuns.
Jerusalem, y callarme, y no lo sé.
that's a piece of music called Jerusalem, and as I said, if you can get onto a computer and Google Jerusalem Dance Challenge Redemptorine Nuns in Dublin, you'll get a great, it'll just give you, lift you up for the day till you forget about your troubles watching this. And I want to say hello to my near neighbour at home in Galway, who's a priest down in County Cork, Michael Ford. He's a Redemptorist priest, and him and his order, they also did a dance as well, and it's all up there on the internet. So hope you enjoy that piece of music. Welcome along. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. And as I've been mentioning over the last few weeks, we got a big dance tour coming to New Zealand soon. And you can go and watch it around New Zealand. It's called Celtica. Come on, boys, take it away here. Then they start their tour down in Tauranga on the 16th.
Producers of Celtic Illusion comes a new era of Irish heritage. Celtica, a high-octane Irish music song and dance production that will storm across the country with shows on both North and South Islands this March. Witness some of the fastest taps in the world, remastered Irish classics and a contemporary musical score that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Don't miss one of the most exciting dance shows this year, an event for the whole family not to miss. For tickets, go to CelticAlive.com.
Yes, you can book your tickets at CelticAlive.com, and the tour starts on the 16th of March in Tauranga in Auckland, St Patrick's Day at the Bruce Mason Centre here in Auckland. Takapuna, a great place to watch a show. 18th of March in New Plymouth, 19th of March in Whanganui, 20th of March in Napier, Regent on Broadway in Palmerston North on the 21st of March, 22nd of March at the Opera House in Wellington. Then they go to the South Island on the 23rd of March in ASB Theatre in Blenheim, Isaac Theatre in Christchurch on the 24th of March, Ashburton on the 26th, they're down in Timaru on the 27th, Civic Theatre in Invercargill on the 28th, and on the 30th of March they're in Dunedin. And you can book your tickets on CelticAlive.com, and there'll be quite a bit of publicity about this dance show on the various forms of media over the next few weeks. 80%, I think 90% of the dancers are from dance schools in New Zealand, and many have performed at the world championships around in other parts of the world. So make sure you can get out and support this great dance tour that's starting in New Zealand inside the next 2 weeks now, or 3 weeks. But as I said, the Taoiseach made an announcement this evening. We'll see, can we take it here in full, about how Ireland is going to go forward. It's about 10 minutes long, so stand with me.
Diaz Galera, as I speak to you this evening, I'm very conscious that I'm speaking to a country that has endured almost 12 months of COVID-related restrictions. Almost 6,200 of our families, friends and neighbours across the entire island have lost their lives to the disease. I know that people are physically and emotionally exhausted by this pandemic. It has placed enormous pressure on each of us individually and as a society. Businesses and workers are deeply worried about the future, and we are all completely fed up with the impositions on our lives. What I want to do this evening is set out in clear, straightforward terms where we are, what is going to happen over the next 6 weeks, and where we would like to go from there. Firstly, it is important to pay tribute to your efforts to suppress the virus since the new year. The sacrifices you have made have had a very positive impact. Steadily and surely, we are driving down the levels of infection. Indeed, our progress in response to the latest wave is among the best in Europe, and I want to thank you for your effort. However, the situation that we and indeed all of Europe find ourselves in today is very different to where we were just a short few months ago. The difference, of course, is the emergence of the so-called UK or B117 variant. It is equivalent to a new virus almost, and it is a major problem. In a very short period, it has spread to at least 75 countries around the world, and it is up to 70% more contagious than the original virus. Up to 90% of new infections in this country are from this new variant. The truth is that it has changed the dynamic significantly, and we need to be very careful as we take the next steps forward. Today, the government has published our updated plan for managing our way through the pandemic, The Path Ahead. Within this document, we set out what we have learned over the course of the last year and explain where we go from here. Essentially, to open up our country safely, we need to keep the numbers of new infections low and accelerate the vaccination programme in line with improving supply. The way forward is broadly split into two phases, the situation up to the 5th of April and the period after the 5th of April. Between now and the 5th of April, Ireland will remain within level 5 restrictions. However, there will be three very important differences between the coming 6 weeks and the level 5 period we've just been through. Firstly, we will start the phased and safe return of in-school education. From the 1st of March, we will reopen our schools for junior infants to second class and leaving certificate students. This will involve the return of over 320,000 pupils. This reopening will be monitored, and the plan then will be for all outstanding classes in primary schools and fifth years in secondary schools to return on the 15th of March. The aim then is for all outstanding classes to return after the Easter break. Secondly, we will expand the reopening of childcare. From the 8th of March, the early childhood preschool programme will reopen for all participating children. And from the 29th of March, subject to public health advice, other restrictions will be lifted so that all other children can return to early learning and childcare services. Thirdly, we will resume non-COVID health and social care services over the coming weeks. In advance of the 5th of April, we will then review the situation. It is critically important that we do not let our guard down. We are carefully and gradually reopening schools because we need to get our children back into education. This will represent a major relief for both pupils and hard-pressed parents. When we open things, we want them to stay open. That is why I cannot overemphasize the importance of continued observance of level 5 restrictions. It is why, if you are currently working from home, you must continue to do so. The key concern is the potential impact of increased mobility of the population on the disease, particularly with the new variant and how easily it spreads. Maintaining restrictions is not a commentary on any one sector. Increased mobility is the issue, and that is why we must monitor the situation very carefully and keep it under constant review. We want to reopen society as soon and as safely as possible. So if we can maintain downward pressure on the disease and keep our numbers low, we will then move into the next phase. There are a number of areas where we will be assessing progress when considering what changes may be possible. The government will examine whether it will be safe to begin easing the restrictions on outdoor gatherings, some sporting activities. We will look at the gradual reopening of construction, and we would like to move on the 5K limit on non-essential journeys. The areas which will influence how we progress are as follows. The first is community transmission of the disease. We need to use the month of March to really drive down case numbers and get them as low as possible. Next, we will look at hospital and ICU occupancy. Our health service has been under truly extraordinary pressure, as have the men and women who make it work. We remain deeply grateful for their heroic effort. We need to continue to reduce the numbers of people in hospital because of COVID so that we can protect our health service and allow for non-COVID healthcare to restart safely. And finally, the all-important vaccine programme. Our commitment is to deliver as fast and as comprehensive a vaccination programme as possible. So far, our only limit has been supply. The first of our people being vaccinated are those who are most vulnerable to the disease and those who we rely on to make our health system work. We're making steady progress. Over 350,000 vaccine doses have already been administered, but we are now in a position to implement a major ramping up of the programme, ranging from small local GP surgeries and pharmacists up to a nationwide network of community and regional vaccination centres. We are implementing a programme of vaccination on a scale that is unprecedented in the country's history. By the end of March, we will have administered 1.25 million doses. Then, depending on vaccines arriving as scheduled, we will administer, on average, more than 1 million doses per month during April, May and June. What that means in practical terms is that by the end of April, up to 40% of people over 18 years of age will have had their first dose. By the end of May, up to 64% will have had their first dose. And by the end of June, up to 82% of adults who can be vaccinated will have received at least one dose, and 55% to 60% will be fully vaccinated. We will get through this. But I want to make sure that when we ease each particular restriction, we take a careful approach to ensure that when we open something, it stays open. We want to protect as many people as possible in the coming months until we achieve a critical mass of vaccinations. That is why we will continue to proceed carefully and cautiously, keeping the situation under constant review and being informed at all stages by public health advice. I understand that some people will feel frustrated as you wait for your vaccine, but I ask you to be patient. There will be vaccines for everyone in the country who can be vaccinated. The vaccination program will completely change the landscape and transform the options available to us as a society for reopening and renewing our country. The breadth, depth and agility of our economy means that we will be in a position to recover. The challenge has always been and remains to ensure that we maintain as many of our businesses as possible intact until they're in a position to get back to work. And that is why we will be maintaining all of the various support schemes for businesses and individuals which were scheduled to close on the 31st of March until the end of June. A new national economic recovery plan to reboot the economy in the aftermath of the pandemic is already in the advanced stages of development within government. €20 million in new additional funding has also been agreed today for mental health supports and investment in communities. We will get through this. We just need to stay focused and get through these next few months safely together. I know how hard this is. I know the toll that it is having on so many people's mental health and well-being. I know the devastation it has brought to so many businesses and livelihoods. But I also know that the end is now truly in sight. We have already shown what a remarkably resilient people we are. We have drawn on a deep, innate sense of community and solidarity to get us this far. That's why I know that we will get through this. Thank you very much indeed.
There you go. That's the Taoiseach Micheál Martin there, his address to the nation at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock this morning, our time. So you heard it there from the horse's mouth. Obviously, lockdown is going to continue at level five until early April, but schools are going to start reopening next week. And as he said, by the end of June, 60% of the people will be fully vaccinated, and 80% of people will have their first vaccine. So as he said, the headline there was, there is some, what do you call it, the end is truly in sight. Okay, we'll continue on with music. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. I hope wherever you're listening tonight, you're enjoying the programme. And I thought we'd appropriate song here, Misha Éireann, to follow that address by the Taoiseach.
Yeah.
haunting voice there of Sibelle, and that was produced, that piece of music, for the commemoration centenary of the 1916 Rising, which hard to believe is coming up 5 years now, not far away. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. So wherever you're listening, I hope you're enjoying the programme tonight. And just to remind you,
Celtic Illusion comes a new era of Irish heritage. Celtica, a high octane Irish music song and dance production that will storm across the country with shows on both North and South Islands this March. Witness some of the fastest taps in the world, remastered Irish classics, and a contemporary musical score that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Don't miss one of the most exciting dance shows this year, an event for the whole family not to miss. For tickets, go to CelticAlive.com.
Yes, and the show starts on the 16th of March in Tauranga, 17th of March, St. Patrick's Day in Auckland. And you can get all the details and tickets on CelticAlive.com. You're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And as I said, everything, all the newspapers in Ireland, the big focus is on the address to the nation this evening by the Taoiseach. And as somebody says, he's planning putting his political career on the line with how the vaccines roll out. That's the only way we're going to come through this. So it says, Taoiseach says the end is truly in sight as level 5 extended until April the 5th and schools to reopen. And we heard that there. And Miriam Lord in the Irish Times says, Micheál promises a new dawn but keeps us in the twilight zone. And there's another headline here, the worst days of the third long lockdown are still ahead. And COVID-19 people aged 16 to 19 with very high risk conditions, they've been moved up the vaccine list. And people are exhausted, according to the Taoiseach, by restrictions with easing some way off. That was the coalition. Then AstraZeneca says it will deliver all contracted second quarter vaccines to the European Union. And then today, sad news, 45 people died and another 575 people were reported to have the COVID-19, and 9,618 people received the vaccines today. So it's certainly a long way off, but at least there's some good news there. Right, it's a long time since we had a song from Daniel O'Donnell. So I know we've got lots of listeners from Donegal on the programme, or listening to the programme week in, week out. So I think it's only appropriate we bring Daniel in here and get him to sing my Donegal Shore. Take it away, Daniel.
Oh, I know it's not right reminiscing tonight of days that are gone and no more. For the girl I dream of has another man's love far, far away on a Donegal shore. But why should I care? She's happy over there. She may have children. She may be wealthy or poor. But I can't help my dreams of what might have been if I stayed at home on my girl I could hold ever.
Unmistakable sound there of Daniel O'Donnell singing My Donegal Shore, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you by the family of a great Donegal man, the Hugh Green Group. And wherever you're listening, I hope you can enjoy the programme, whether it's in Auckland on a Wednesday night, Christchurch on Saturday night. We know Christchurch celebrated, commemorated the 10th anniversary of the terrible earthquake this week. So our thoughts are with all the people in Christchurch as you come to terms with what has been a really tough 10 years for many people, and we know that two Irish people lost their lives in that terrible earthquake. Listen to us in Wellington on a Saturday night and Saturday afternoon on Capitol Coast Radio, and around the country and around the world on planetaudio.org.nz on other nights during the week. Well, I'm just looking here at the sports section. Obviously a big year for the British and Irish Lions due to tour South Africa, but it looks like that tour won't go ahead in its normal format, touring South Africa, playing three tests and obviously midweek games. But a final decision on this summer's tour will be taken by the end of March, with officials increasingly keen to host it on home soil in front of live audiences. So tentative plans are in place to expand the eagerly awaited series against Scotland, against South Africa, to four tests in July. So I'd assume tests in Twickenham, Cardiff, Murrayfield and one in Dublin, which would be a great idea. And if crowds are able to go, this would be a fantastic spectacle, and it would be probably more appealing than it being played behind closed doors in South Africa. But of course, this weekend Ireland take on Italy, a game they should win. And I see Owen Farrell has picked the same squad. He hasn't named his team yet, as has played in the first two matches. And Johnny Sexton indicating that he's looking to life after rugby after 2023. So obviously he's keen to stay around for the next Rugby World Cup, and then probably wants to get off. And I'm sure he's invested well. He'd have had a good career, and will be able to go off and enjoy a lucrative career outside of rugby, probably more than likely in the TV commentary area. And I'm not sure whether he'll go into to coaching or not. You just never know. What other bits and pieces of news has been happening? Of course, the GAA are waiting to find out when they'll be able to get back. No change to the inter-county GAA after confusion over the elite sports status and new government roadmap that was announced this evening. And obviously a worrying development in the last few hours, with the news breaking this morning, New Zealand time, that Tiger Woods suffered multiple leg injuries after his car goes off the road, rolls over in a crash just outside Los Angeles. Stories coming out saying that he has obviously moderate to severe injuries in one of his legs. So let's hope he makes a full recovery. When we come back, we'll run through the farming sections of the paper and see what's there this week. And before that, John Glenn and the Mainliners and the boys from the County Armagh.
The
County. It's the orchards up there in Greenland. I love its cathedral and city.
Yes, for all the people from Armagh that are listening to the programme tonight, John Glynn there and the boys from the county Armagh, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And you'd be very proud of these bunch of cattle that are on the front of the Farming Independent on Tuesday. A Limousine clan out grazing in sunshine near Clashganny, County Carlow. After last weekend's double-digit temperatures, heavy rain is set to sweep across the country today. And that was yesterday, and it did come. And Met Éireann is forecasting scattered showers for the rest of the week, with temperatures staying milder than average. Now, this story featured in the newspaper in New Zealand today. Elon Musk, obviously the man with the Tesla and the rocket business, he's put satellites up there that's going to give people broadband from the sky. So it says here, the sky's no limit in Kerry as billionaire Musk rolls out plans for global broadband system. So a remote part of Kerry is being used by the world's richest man, Elon Musk, as a location for a pilot project and the rollout of a new satellite broadband system. Musk, who's the founder of SpaceX and the electric car maker Tesla, is creating a network of thousands of Starlink satellites to create a new global broadband system. I think that'll run out here as well in New Zealand. Cutting the beef herd is inevitable price for dairy expansion, warns a government expert. And beef prices could take a serious hit once Brexit export controls take effect in July. Now, the only way is up for sheep prices. This lot of eight ewes carrying 12 lambs made €172 each at Dara Mart last Friday. The trade continues to be very strong at both marts and factories, who are quoting up to €6.30 to €6.40 a kilogram, plus bonuses for lamb this week. And lamb is expensive here in New Zealand. Chinese up the ante on grain production. China will put greater pressure on its regions to boost grain yields and step up support for its domestic seed industry as it strengthens its focus on food security after the COVID-19 pandemic. So that's obviously worrying news for Irish grain producers. Brexit rules for livestock trade unworkable, according to Mark managers. What else is going on here? Dairy debt on the rise, but borrowing still far lower than our global competitors. So that's probably making reference to New Zealand somewhere in there. But certainly we know, it says from the National Farm Survey data, that debt levels on Irish farms continues to be the highest on average across our farming systems in Ireland. In addition, debt levels have increased on dairy farms since the abolition of the quotas back a few years ago. In 2009, the average debt level of an Irish dairy farm was just over €75,000. That's up nearly 20% in 5 years. IFA and Bord na Mona hold positive meeting on bog re-wetting. Wicklow farmers hit with a spate of sheep thefts. A farmer caught driving tractor under the influence of cocaine. Where did that happen? In Donegal, Ballyshannon. Average farm income set for a 3% lift this year. That's going to be good. Pig prices obviously not, with returns to fall by 10% in 2021. But cattle prices are good. And what else is, it's time for our farm leaders to get real about the impact of dairy expansion on our water quality and emissions. This is a columnist each week, Dara McCullum. He's a farms a mixed enterprise farm in County Meath. Will beef be the loser as mature discussions on dairy unfolds? And so certainly not many pictures of bright sunshine here in the Farm and Independent today. A heifer I bought online has a condition that is beyond treatment. Do I have any comeback on money? So there's a question and answer section there on farm advice. And our beef sector is going to run out of farmers if policymakers don't show some vision and leadership. So that's it. There's the headlines from the Farming Independent from Tuesday. And here's Lisa Hannigan with Fall. Lisa Hannigan and a song called Fall, and you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the great support of the Hugh Green Group. I'm just looking at yesterday's paper. Level 5 restrictions won't be reviewed until the start of April. Well, of course, the start of the programme, we got the address from the Taoiseach this evening, which confirmed that. So the big news is to try to get the schools back and open before too long. Working 24/7 on a dairy farm is the secret to our success, says Irish Fittest Family star Ticey. So this has been going on for the last few weeks. I think the Fittest Family, they were trained by Davy Fitzgerald. I heard something on the radio about it the other day. What else is here? McDowell firm loses 507,000 after a house destroyed. The golf firm owned by Graham McDowell took a hit after a hurricane wiped a holiday home owned by the company. That's gone back in 2017. Yes, this is all predicting what's going to happen this evening. And leftover vaccines can be given to the spouses of over 85s, GPs are told. So obviously there's very strict guidelines how the vaccines are administered. A delight for children on the first day back, that was Monday, a special class is open for 10,000 pupils. And there's a beautiful picture here of Marie Breen with daughter Thea at Our Lady of the Good Counsel National School in Johnstown, Killiney in County Dublin. Not sure if the jackpot was won. There was 210 million to be won in the Euro Millions. That was on Tuesday night in Ireland. So you're a bit late to ring anybody at home to get a, what do you call it, a ticket for that. But it might go to 220 at the weekend. Pandemic set to leave financial scars for up to 2 years. Playing by ear. Will there be festival or gigs this summer? And obviously, artists the likes of Daniel O'Donnell, indeed all the big artists, when they do get back to playing, I'm sure they'll be very busy for the coming few years. I know Daniel himself is very popular with all his shows, so he might be very busy next year or later this year when he gets back on the road. But I see here there's lots of questions here about what's going to happen, all the big concerts that are due to take place in Ireland, and what are concert organisers saying? Ireland's largest live music promoter, MCD, says it's remaining positive. Picture this, Coe DeLine, Dermot Kennedy are all due to perform at outdoor gigs this summer. MCD rescheduled hundreds of events for 2021, but already there's been some cancellations and further date changes. So we'll have to just wait and watch this particular space to find out what's happening. Wind and flood alert at the southwest faces up to 100 millimetres of rain. We could do with that in Auckland to fill our reservoirs, but it certainly was very wet in Cork and Kerry overnight. So hopefully that's the last of the rain. Finally, DUP pumps up volume and rhetoric in case against Northern Ireland Protocol. The volume has gone up and the battle is going to the courts, and the political hustlings with the battle pledge to be fought in Belfast, London and Brussels. The DUP party deployed its best rhetoric against the border in the Irish Sea yesterday with a special committee hearing in the London Parliament. They're not happy with what's happening over there. And finally, I see ex-solicitors created 60 fake identities in a devious plan to defraud banks of 400,000 in a bank loan fraud. And speaking of banks, the bank that I worked in, Ulster Bank, after being in Ireland for over 100 and I think about 70 years, announced last week that it's going to have a gradual withdrawal from the Irish economy. This is going to have impact on about 2,600 staff. They're going to stay in Northern Ireland, but they're going to wind down their operations in the Republic. So huge disappointment for the staff that are there. But in fact, customers, they've got over 1.1 million customers. And customers who have obviously loans that are not viable at the moment, they're struggling to pay them back. They're worried that their loans could be transferred to a vulture fund. And these vulture funds that have already bought bad loans from other banks over the last few years show little or no mercy to people if they don't follow a strict payment plan. Right, we'll go with Christy Moore, I suppose an appropriate song here, The Real in the Flickering Light. Let's hope that flickering light gets brighter in Ireland by the 5th of April.
Jumped up sprightly and danced to the wheel, and the flickering lights were all round the go. Wheel to the door and the daddy long legs jumped up sprung, and you danced on the wheel in the second night. On his thin and wispy spindles, he was deft and he was numb. His eyes were scientific, and his dancing was terrific. And the rats and the worms, they made a din, and the nettles in the corner took it in. Oh God, says I, tonight's the night, we'll dance to the wheel in the flickered light. Oh, round we go, heave to the toe. Oh God, says I, tonight's the night, we'll dance to the wheel in the flickered light. Then he looked at me directly, with a gaze that could dissect me, and he asked me in a whisper, have you got any sisters? Good God Almighty, says I to him, what sort of a man do you think I am? I've only one, she's not your type, she wouldn't dance a reel in the flickered light. Oh, round we go, heel to the toe. I've only one, she's not your type, she wouldn't dance a reel in the flickered light. Says he, does she come from another planet? Has she got a bee in her bonnet? Does she do her daily duties? You never know, we might be suited. And the rats and the worms began to laugh, and some of them started shuffling off. We're going to have some fun tonight, getting ready for the reel and the flickered light. Oh, we go, heel to the toe. We're going to have some fun tonight, getting ready for the reel and the flickered light. I could see he had no scruples when I looked into his pupils. They were purple or magenta, like a statue during Lent. I said I'd get her right away. Good man, says he, no, don't delay. We're going to have some fun tonight. Then he flipped his legs in the thick of the night. So round we go, heel to the toe. We're going to have some fun tonight. Then he flipped his legs in the thick of the night. Then up stepped her incarnation, and they gave her an ovation. She was warm and enchanted as she slowly started dancing. Daddy long legs said, my oh my, are we ready for the wheel and the flickering light? Oh, round we go, heel to the toe. Daddy long legs said, my oh my, are we ready for the wheel and the flickering light? She was gentle, she was charming, and they heard him call her darling. He was graceful as a whisper, on his delicate legs of silver. And the rats and worms were still as mice, and the poor old pigeon said, that's nice. A shimmering veil and a lovely bride, they danced to the wheel and the flickering light. Around we go, heel to the toe. A shimmering veil and a lovely bride, they danced to the wheel and the flickering light. Around we go, heel to the toe. A shimmering veil and a lovely bride, they danced to the wheel and the flickering light.
Yes, Christy Moore there, and dancing a reel in the flickering light. And you're listening to Ireland Calling, brought to you with the support of the Hugh Green Group. We've got about 5 minutes to go before the end of this week's show. So wherever you're listening, I hope you're enjoying the programme.
Celtic Illusion comes a new era of Irish heritage. Celtica, a high-octane Irish music song and dance production that will storm across the country with shows on both North and South Islands this March. Witness some of the fastest cats in the world. Remastered Irish classics and a contemporary musical score that will leave you on the edge of your seat. Don't miss one of the most exciting dance shows this year. An event for the whole family not to miss. For tickets, go to CelticaLive.com.
Yes, Celtica, C-E-L-T-I-C-A, live.com is where you can get your tickets for the show, which starts in New Zealand at the Baycourt Community Centre in Tauranga on the 16th of March, and in Auckland on the 17th. Don't forget the big Hugh Green Group Parade taking place in Auckland on the 13th of March, which is good news. There was stories before Christmas that the parade may not go ahead this year due to lack of funding, but it looks like they've got enough sponsors to run the event this year. So I'm sure the people in the Irish Society are getting ready, and if you want to be involved with that, you can visit the same website, stpatrick.co.nz. That's about it for another week. Hopefully you've enjoyed the programme. Brought to you, as it is each week, with the support of the Hugh Green Group. And we're going to leave you tonight with Raglan Road. And I think this is with is Van Morrison version. I think it's from the Chieftains anyways, but we'll hit the, what do you call it, hit the button here. And no, we might play that next week because it's a longer version. So I'm looking here at my time and everything. We've got 3 minutes to go, so I'm looking here for a song that's 3 minutes long. Well, we'll give you the what do you call it, Horse Lips and Daybreak. Good night, goodbye, and God bless.